When I've come with you, we've been talking about the book of Acts. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit Acts recently, but we started in Genesis. You remember how the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the face of the waters? Remember that scripture there right in the front of the book? Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the living God. It's the same Spirit that he's talking about that he's going to baptize you with. The Spirit that created the world is the same Spirit, or the Spirit that was present in the creation of the world. It's the same Spirit that inhabits you. Same one. Not a different one. Not a smaller version. Well, it's just a smaller version. I mean, how could, certainly with me, you'd need a smaller version of that thing. You know what I'm saying? Do you believe that's true? I don't believe it at all. I believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Oh, that sounds like a song. That sounds like a scripture that's in the Bible. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's that same Spirit. That was a demonstration the scripture talks about of God bearing his arm. He said he made the earth with his fingers, but he used his right arm to raise Jesus from the dead. As it took a little more effort than fingers. You ever tried to lift something with your fingers? That's not as. But well, what about it, Dave, what about it when you got to do something with your arm? When you actually have to put some oomph into it. And God used that same Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, to raise Jesus from the dead. He had borne all of your sin, and he'd borne all of your iniquity, all of it. All of it. He bore it all. He took it all upon himself in his own body on the tree. And then God raised him from the dead. But he not only raised him. In fact, it was a very interesting part of the story is that people got up from the dead. When Jesus died, people got up and walked up out of the grave. You ever read that? Yeah, actually, people. He died, the veil was written too, and people got up. When the power of God is exercised, life comes from the dead. That's powerful. And you have been raised from the dead. Now quit checking in the mirror and seeing how much sin you still got. Granted, you got plenty. That's okay, because God made provision for that. He made provision for that. Well, I just don't seem to be pleasing God the way that I should. Well, you're right. You are right. I'm right. It's true. But you know what he's doing now is as you come into his presence, it's what I was talking about earlier. As you spend time coming into his presence, allow the Holy Spirit. It's not about what you're going to do to get better for God. It's not about what you're going to do. It's about what he's already done. And as we praise him, as we worship him, and I know you're enduring your circumstance, and I know you're enduring your situation, just continue to thank him and praise him. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And let that word begin to transform you. See, you begin to worship him. You begin to let that word, you plant it like a seed. Mark 4 talks about it. You plant the word of God as a seed. What do? You put let it come, let it just be planted in you. And then let it be watered by more of the word and praise and thanksgiving and worship. And he's transforming you. How many know that's, how many have experienced that truth? Is that Word of God has transformed you and changed you, and it wasn't anything you did. You just meditated upon it day and night because you knew that that was your only hope. You come to find out that that was your only salvation. And no matter what you've been through, whether it's of your own making or and most of it's your own making, or what somebody else did, that word of God is changing you and delivering you out of that bondage. Amen? Whatever trouble you have, we'll get back to this in a minute. Whatever trouble you have, God is delivering you out of it. Now, what I'm talking about is the one thing that is taking up your mind and taking up your thought life and taking up your emotional life. God wants to deliver you from that right now. But He wants you to just begin to thank Him and to praise Him for it. Now, some of you, you've been doing that. Some of you have been doing that. Get somebody else, I'll tell you this, get somebody else to agree with you. Amen? I know you've been doing it, but get somebody else to agree with you. You don't even have to tell them everything that's going down the pike. You don't have to tell them everything that's going on. You just grab somebody and say, pray with me. Agree with me so that I receive deliverance from a burden. Amen? That's what your brothers and sisters are here for. You can get one of the pastors to do it, one of the elders, one of the deacons. That's fine. They'll keep their mouth shut. You hope. No. It doesn't matter who it is, and you don't have to tell all the details. Thank you for praying for me and for rejoicing with me. Now, don't count on them all week. You know, hey, did you keep it up? No, they'll forget. I'm talking about people here. Amen? We're talking about people. People forget. People, you know, they'll pray for you. I want to pray for you right away. You know why? Because if I go home, I'll probably forget. So, you know, when you tell me about a thing, I want to pray about it right then. You know, if at all possible, if somebody asks you to pray for them, pray right now. Come over here. Let's come over here in the corner. Let's pray now. Amen. Don't wait. Don't be, well, I'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Now, don't wait. Just pray now. It's always good to pray now. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it will be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, let's look at, if you thought I finished that sermon there or not, doesn't matter. We got to get on with this. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, now Apollos was one who had been one who had been come across by other believers, Aquila and Priscilla, who were disciples of Paul. They came across Aquila in Ephesus, or Apollos in Ephesus, and he was preaching the baptism according to John, and about one coming who was greater than any other who had been before. And they took him aside and said, that guy you're talking about's already come, and his name is Jesus. And they began to expound to him the way of the gospel. And so Apollos moved on and began to preach Jesus Christ with a fuller knowledge. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, apparently they've already believed. They're already believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What's a Holy Ghost? And he said to them, Paul said to them, to what then were you baptized? And they said, well, you're baptized to John, unto John's baptism. And then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which came after him, that is on Jesus Christ. Of course, they'd already heard about Jesus. They were already disciples. And he said, when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And then, so they had already been believers, but then they became baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But then here's another thing. So they had already been believers on early, before Paul came to town. But it said we hadn't heard whether there'd be any Holy Ghost. So Paul was bringing up something they hadn't heard of. They hadn't been aware of yet. How many know when you tell people about something, a lot of times the whole story doesn't get preached. The whole story doesn't get to you. You know, you get little bits and pieces. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And verse 6 says, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Wow. That's powerful. That's what you want. Amen? That's what you want. Some of you, you've been born again, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, you've heard about things, and you've been around a while, been to this place and that place, been to this church and that church, heard this sermon and that sermon. But here we have clear scripture. It says, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You'll remember that when we, a few months ago, we talked about Cornelius. And Paul, or Peter, this is Paul here. This is Peter's story. Is that Peter was up on a rooftop, and he had a vision. Said, "Don't rise, kill, and eat all kinds of things that he normally wouldn't eat, because it was not kosher." And God said, "What I've called clean, don't you call unclean. There's some men are going to come get you and take you to somebody's house." So he came down. Sure enough, people came, took him to Cornelius' house. He began to preach to them. They were all sitting there waiting. They were just Gentiles. They're just waiting for to hear this gospel. They were waiting to hear the word of God. And Paul and Peter, he just, you know, okay, just Jesus Christ, you know, came and he died and he rose again for the sins of the world, and he was preaching. He didn't even make an offer to them. All of a sudden, it says, while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, he didn't say they spoke with tongues, but he said he fell on them as he fell on us at the beginning. Well, how did he fall on them at the beginning? They were all together in one accord in an upper room. And all of a sudden, the sound of a rushing mighty wind came in and appeared in flames of fire upon each of them, and they all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So, it didn't tell you that they did that, but it said it fell on them as He did on us at the beginning. It was a demonstration that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. In the same way, they were astonished. He said the Jews that were with Peter were astonished that God would move among the Gentiles that He had among the Jews. This is amazing. I'm one of them. I'm not, as far as I know, I don't have a Jewish bone in my body. Amen. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful the Holy Ghost came upon the Gentiles. Amen. I'm grateful. Because God said that this promise was to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as the Lord our God shall call, there's this promise too. This is the promise of the Father. Well, how many want the promise of the Father? Amen. See? Jesus said that you should receive the promise of the Father that He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And baptizing you with the Holy Spirit, again, is not just praying in tongues. That's a good part. That's a fun part. That's a good part. But it's to show you sin. It's to mature you. It's to bring you into the presence of the mighty God. It's for power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You remember we talked about this in John chapter 16. See, the Holy Spirit, He'll show you things to come. Jesus said, there's many things I cannot tell you right now because you couldn't bear it. You can't handle it. You couldn't receive it. But when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Now, we've been through that here in the Scripture, is that the Holy Spirit is showing and demonstrating to Paul or to various of the characters in the book of Acts what is coming next, what to do. Remember, we just talked about Peter. He said, okay, there's three men are going to come ask for you. Well, sure enough, boy, didn't they come? And I want you to go with them. And don't call what I've called clean unclean, because I'm fixing to do something. I'm fixing to demonstrate something to you. So you remember that Abraham is not the father of just one nation. Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. Amen? Not just Israel, but the father of faith. The father of everyone who believes. So he said here, so when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they spoke with tongues, but they also prophesied. Now, speaking in tongues is speaking in an unknown tongue. We can go back to, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity. That's the word there is agape. That is the unconditional love of God. That is love which is given without any necessity of anything in return. Its source is God. Follow after the agape of God. And desire spiritual gifts. But rather, that you may prophesy. That prophesying is words given, an utterance given in a known language. In other words, to be able to tell you something, to speak to you a word of God from the Spirit in a language that you can understand. There's an element of prophecy in preaching, just what I'm doing right now, because I may have something to share because of study, but on the other hand, the Holy Spirit may interject and does from time to time, going one direction or another direction. Pastor Jim, you see it. You see it with me. You see it with others. Is that the Holy Spirit begins from a message you began to share, that God begins to reach out and touch Paul, or reach out and touch Janet, or reach out and touch Charlene. And God begins to say a word in that minute or that hour that will touch you, and you can say amen. So it's not just a bird shot. It's not just shotgun, hope you hit somebody. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak to everyone in the room. He wants to speak a word in season, a word right now, which is going to touch you, which is going to cause you to explode onto your horizon and explode onto your sphere of influence tomorrow or this afternoon to change you and to change people's lives. Amen? The reason you're still here is to change people's lives. That's the reason you're here. Amen? Huh? You're not here just to, come to church and look good. Or come to church and receive a little oil, get a little anointing. The reason you're to get any kind of a little anointing is to be able to share it with someone else, to go lean up against somebody else. Because you have all you need. You have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of God in you. You are a believer. You are a demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom. That's who you are. That's what you are. Now, you may not know it. Maybe you're young in the faith and you don't know that, and you think that you're still looking for stuff. No, everything's already been installed. You got everything. You have it. You have it. And the Holy Spirit is now unpacked. You ever heard the term unpacking it? That's a popular term these days. Somebody's going to unpack this today. You ever heard that? Nod your head and I'll go on. That's what He's doing. See, He's put that on the inside of you. Anybody ever installed software on a computer? You ever seen the little thing? I'll tell you how it works. You ever seen the little thing? Well, all it is something you're watching on the little screen. And a little box opens up. And basically what it's doing is unpacking all the files. It's unpacking all the files. The files have all been packed in this little tiny box. And it's unpacking all those files. And that thing, it's got, my gosh, how many megabytes of information's in that little box? And I mean, there's tons. And God wants to unpack all of this on the inside of you. Amen? And that's why you need the Holy Spirit, is so He can unpack this. There's many things I want to share with you, but you can't bear them now because you don't have the proper upgrade. But He's going to install something on the inside of you. You know, I mean, there's some things you just, you know, just on the same analogy, there's some software you just can't run because you're back in Windows, you're back typing in DOS, you know, you're just typing in on the black screen with the white letters, and you can't run that. But see, God, He installed this Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You got the operating system from heaven, and He can drop all kinds of things on the inside of you now. Amen? Stuff you don't even think you can handle, God can put on the inside of you. Are you ready? Are you prepared for that? Say amen. See, listen, it's good for you. This is what God wants to do. He, you know, well, I just hadn't been prepared for that. I hadn't done enough. You don't need, listen to me. Quit thinking about what you hadn't done. That's a disaster from the devil. Is that thinking about what you haven't done. How you haven't prepared. Well, I hadn't done enough push-ups. Amen. I hadn't done enough pull-ups. I hadn't done enough crunches. You haven't done enough. You hadn't exercised enough. God's not interested in what you haven't done. All He wants you to do is say, fill me up. Fill me up and pour me out. And quit and don't make an excuse for it. Because all you're doing is making an excuse for yourself. See, God can do anything He wants to. He just wants you to say amen. Well, I hadn't been in a while. God doesn't need you to show up for a while. You can walk in the door and get hit by lightning. Amen? How many of you know you don't have to be prepared to be hit by lightning? I say, I'm not ready yet. You don't really need to be prepared. It can just happen in a moment. Say, God, I want you to touch me. I want you to move in me. And then you open up the scripture and just thank Him for it. Now listen, when something doesn't happen that day, go back again. Go back tomorrow. Amen? When something doesn't happen today, go back tomorrow. This is a change in your life. It's transforming you because you don't need to do anything. Just prepare. Just by the only preparation is to come into His presence. How do you do that? You say, Father, thank you that I'm in your presence right now. You don't have to light 3 candles. You don't even have to come to church. I'd recommend it. We could use the offering. No, I'm just kidding. No, you should come. You should come because God sent a man to preach to you the Word of God. He sent somebody to preach to you the Word of God. Show up. Bible said, come. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. How many of you see the day of the Lord approaching? Amen. How about y'all? funny up here, you know, you get a whole hand, this side all raise a hand, this side goes, I think they were yawning when I said it or something. So that's a word, that's a prophetic word, a word of prophecy. A word of prophecy can come through preaching. It says, but he that speaks, verse 2 out of chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no man understands him. Now, I probably preached this before, but I'll say it again. How many, it says, everybody say this, for no man understands him. That's very interesting. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, how many people said they understood? The Greeks, the Phrygians, every man everywhere, do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. Bible says if they were speaking in an unknown tongue, that no man understands them. So the miracle was in the hearing. Hey, they're all speaking Phrygian. No, they're all speaking French. No, they're probably having a fight out there. No, they're all speaking English. Nobody even knew English back then, but they're probably speaking English. You understand what I'm telling you? Is that the miracle was in the hearing. Each one of them, who were from every country on the planet, heard the crowd of disciples speaking in his own individual language. The French guy heard him speaking in French. The Greek guy heard him speaking in Greek. The Asian guy heard him speaking in Chinese. But actually, they were just praying in tongues. They were speaking in another tongue, unknown to anyone. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now listen to this. But he that prophesies, speaks to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what's the purpose of prophecy? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification builds you up. Exhortation is instruction. And comfort is comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, there's that word of edification again, builds himself up. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, how does that work? I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't have to know what I'm saying. The Bible says, the Word of God tells us, that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. There's a verse in Jude, verse 20, just one chapter. The book of Jude, one chapter right before the book of Revelation, says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself. So praying in another tongue will build you up, edify you, encourage you. Okay, same verse, verse 4, second part. But he that prophesies, speaking in a known tongue, edifies the church. So, if a man were to speak, a person, an individual were to speak in an unknown tongue, he edifies and builds up himself. If you prophesy, speaking in a known language, at least known to the people who are sitting here, if I were to speak in French, most of you probably wouldn't be all that edified. Unless you think French is a sweet language and you like to listen to it. But if I were to speak in Russian, you probably wouldn't be edified. If I were to speak in a tongue, I'd be edified, but you probably wouldn't. Okay, when's he going to be through with that? But he that prophesies edifies the church. So Paul says this, I would that you all spoke with tongues. I'd like you all to speak with tongues. but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except that he interpret, that the church may receive edification. So now we're talking about the difference between edification of personal edification between you and the Holy Spirit, you and the Lord, and edifying the church, and what the difference is between praying in tongues and the church requires edification so that the body may receive blessing. But edification personally, and that can also take place individually, you know, during worship. Because we even in corporate worship, where we're lifting up our voices, we're together, but I'm not speaking to you. If I'm praying another tongue, if I'm up here and they're worshiping, praising and singing, and I may pray in another tongue, I may just speak out in an unknown tongue, but I'm not talking to you. So to have a congregation lift up voice in another tongue is not inappropriate, just as long as you don't think you're edifying the church by doing it, like you're making a statement to the church. Does that make sense? Some people will say, well, you shouldn't be praying in tongues in the congregation. No, it's not true. It just means don't assume that you're giving a message out. Now, somebody may lift up their voice in the midst of that kind of context, and then, but somebody, you better have heard God that there's, okay, I want you to speak out in an unknown tongue because I got Paul over there who's going to interpret. So I got it all set up, so go ahead, says the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you just learn how to operate. You just learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Now this can have something to do with. Now I'm still talking about what the book of Acts is talking about, because it's all about the Holy Spirit ministering to people, ministering to congregations, ministering to individuals. Amen? So it's all about a man, a woman, going and ministering or laying hands on or praying for an individual, letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and show you what you may not know about that individual. And He'll give you the encouragement to go ahead and speak out. He'll give you the encouragement to go ahead and speak out and actually go say to a brother or sister, you know, I believe that God wants me to pray for you about A, B, C, whatever it is, and about you're sick, and the Lord wanted me to pray for you. It's not because they identified themselves as sick or identified themselves as having a need, but the Holy Spirit said that to you. Now, maybe you missed it right there. Won't hurt a bit for you to go and ask if somebody needs prayer for something. Won't hurt a bit. But I want you to begin to step out of your nervous zone and begin to encourage and build up one another. You know, another thing to do is do it here in the church. Is just do it amongst those who come and who expect the Holy Spirit to move. To begin to fellowship with one another and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to send you to somebody. Amen? This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read about the gifts, the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings. And there's 9 manifestations of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to begin to use you in all of those things. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's look a little further down, verse 19 of chapter in Acts. Verse 11, And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So that from his body were brought to the sick, in other words, people who weren't in the service or in the gathering where they were, and they actually, you ever heard about that? So-and-so, for only $19.95, he'll send you a handkerchief this big, a little swatch this big. Well, it's actually, it does have scriptural base. And this is it right here in Acts 19:11, is that actually they packed cloths on Paul's body and then took them and laid them on the sick. And the evil spirits went out of them, and diseases departed from them. So there's a scriptural basis for these things. All right? Not that you should charge $19.95 when you walk in the door. Hey, sweetheart, I just got this, and for only $19.95, I'll lay it on you, and you'll get healed. No, just lay it on them. You pay the $19.95. And then verse 13 says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did this. And the evil spirit answered. How many know the evil spirit could answer? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So you might get a response, you know. You might get a response out of an evil spirit. But you better have the power of the Holy Ghost. You better be filled with the Holy Spirit. You better be born again. You better know Jesus. Some of you may have come across a movie or something where the guy trying to cast out devils got in trouble. I got a sense it's because the guy didn't know Jesus. Because even when Paul and or even when Peter and the disciples tried to cast out an evil spirit, because they were with Jesus, that evil spirit had no power or authority to harm them. So we tried to get you. The guy came up, you know, we tried to get your disciples to cast out this devil, but they couldn't. But of course, but the devil wasn't able to harm those disciples. But here in this case, these guys were not with Jesus. These guys had no relationship with Jesus. It says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And that's seven of them. That was seven of them. So just be ready. Be ready. Go into a place prepared. And I said earlier, don't worry about being prepared. The only preparation you need is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to spend time in the presence of the Lord. It said, and this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them, on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used the curious arts, that's occult, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Well, that's a lot of books and items being burned. Amen. Finally, let's look here at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. This is Paul. And when they were come to him, he said to them, From the first day. So he began to speak to the elders there at Ephesus because he was headed to Jerusalem. And let's look at verse 22. And now, by behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Bound in the Spirit. That is, he has an understanding that in the Spirit, that he knows he's got to go to Ephesus. The Holy Spirit is leading him. He has a leading. He has a direction from the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit is going to give you direction. Amen? He's going to give you direction. He'll show you things to come. He's going to give you direction. The Holy Spirit will give you a direction. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily lead you away from bonds and affliction, does he? What was the first thing Jesus did when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit coming up out of the baptism of John? The Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to be tested of the devil. So the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily lead you away from trouble every time, does he? Sometimes he leads you right in the middle of it. But you're empowered. The Holy Spirit has already empowered you and set you. You're ready. Amen? You're ready because he's with you. Verse 24, now this is great. Save that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, verse 23, saying that the bonds and afflictions await me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Say that. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. What? Finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now finally, as he's fixing to leave the Ephesians and head off toward Jerusalem, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock of God. Now, wait a minute. Back here in verse 17, he called together the elders of the church. He's talking to the elders. Who's he talking to? The elders. Verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So who assigns a pastor? Who assigns an elder? The Holy Ghost. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise. Out of your own group shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It says, take heed, therefore, to yourselves and all the flock of God. It says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So He commits them to the Holy Ghost. Your pastors are committed to the Holy Ghost by the Lord. We're committed to the Holy Ghost by the Lord, not to some other man's care. And you pray. You pray for us. I hope you're praying for us. Well, I hope the pastor's praying for us. We pray for y'all. You need to pray for us. Amen? You need to pray for me. You need to pray for Pastor Jim. The Holy Spirit has put the elders and those, he's put them in place to give you a gift, to encourage you, to build you up, as Paul was talking about it today. Say, we're not better than you. We're not smarter than you. We've just been maybe doing this a little longer than you. So pray for us as we continue to do what God told us to do. Amen. Well, God is good. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up and we'll lay hands on you and you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want to be born again, you don't know Jesus, you want to be born again, you've never received Jesus as your Lord, start bringing people, you know, who don't know the Lord. Start bringing people who don't know the Lord. Start bringing people who need healing. Start bringing people who need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? You have an expectation that the Lord is going to meet you. Amen?